All right. Good morning, everyone. Well, it's really good to be together. I can't believe it's December, right? I mean, this. I know we've talked. A few of us have shared this, but when all of this began in March, I literally thought it'd be over in like 2 to 3 weeks, right? And we'd be back worshiping together, and then. Little did I know it wouldn't be till August that we had to do a drive-in theater and actually get together as a community. But I'm so thankful. I just want to thank Dean, Choi, thank you so much for just setting these services up, providing us with a safe space to worship the Lord. And everyone else who has been a part of this and who has just lent a hand and prayed over the church during this time, just thank you and praise you. So we are in the third week of Advent, right? I guess we're moving into the fourth week tomorrow. I think this has been a wonderful series that we've been looking in Isaiah at just how mercy restores and how God's grace is so abundant and powerful and just uplifting. And I think during this time, we need that more than ever. So as we've been looking at the prophet Isaiah for the last 2 weeks of Advent, we have heard that Israel had been living in darkness. But there is a seed of hope, the restoration of Israel and a great new light. Dean and Nelson have pointed out to us that we have heard how God's mercy restores, but we also need to be an active part in that restoration. We can't just sit back and let God do everything. Today, our scripture comes from the second half of the book of Isaiah. God has raised the Persians through King Cyrus. The Babylonians have defeated and the exile has ended. This second part of Isaiah talks about a new hope. Not the Star Wars new hope, but new hope. And a servant will be sent to bring the people back to God, and through Israel, they will be a light unto the world. So those who are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Our scripture reading today comes from Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. Now hear God's word. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted, he has redeemed his people. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. You know, there is nothing like receiving good news, right? Whether it's through an email, through a text, through Christmas cards that actually I've been getting this year, which is amazing. Heather and I received one from someone. We have no idea who it was, but they wrote this letter to us. It's in a picture of their family, but it was good news to be wished a warm and happy Christmas. You know, and it could be from a coworker, or, you know, our friend James and fellow staff member here, he and his wife, Michelle, just celebrated the birth of their first son, James. So that is good news for the birth of their son. But now that we're living in this time, I think it's more important than ever for us to dig into good news and to hear God's good news. I mean, it's like, Lord, especially with our world today, sometimes it feels pretty dark, right? With this pandemic that we're in, the isolation many of us have felt or are still feeling. So it is a space of darkness, and it made me think of how Israel had found themselves in years of darkness. They had been in exile, living in Babylon. They'd been taken away from their homes. They were taken away from the temple. So literally they believed that God was not with them. And the city of David, Jerusalem, had laid in ruins. And so Israel watched and waited. And in our scripture today, Isaiah proclaims how beautiful are the feet of a messenger. So feet, you know, they carry us where we want to go. And I guess as a small infant, one of the most documented growth developments, right, is our first steps, correct? So, and if one has ever injured a foot, even if it's the smallest little cut, it's pretty painful, right? So, but feet are not the most cleanest things, right? I mean, they're on the ground and they're in the socks and shoes all the time. And if you don't wear shoes, it's a real mess. But how often have feet brought good news? I mean, think of our own history. When the American slaves who were ushered to freedom by Harriet Tubman, her scarred feet leading them to a promise of a new hope, or the ragged, worn out, probably trench foot of American soldiers who liberated the concentration camps, ending the horrors of World War II, and hopefully ushering in a time of peace. But when Isaiah talks about feet and the one who brings good news, it was the feet who brought the messenger, but most importantly, it was the message. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation. Now, in our world today, when we talk about peace, a lot of the times we think of a peace treaty, right, between nations, no war. But as the prophet proclaims peace, good news, and salvation, I want us to take a look that it's not just about the absence of war or the exile and their captivity in Babylon, but this peace or this mercy is the great shalom of God. It's the restoring peace, bringing something or someone to a state of complete wholeness. It's about the other's well-being. And I think sometimes that's hard for us in this Western culture that we live in because everything's so transactional, right? So if you give me something, Joel, I expect something back in return. And even sometimes when we serve and we reach out to others in need, sometimes we do it for our own self-interest or maybe we're expecting something in return. So we are concentrating about the other's well-being. And an example of this was when the young King David went out to visit his brothers in the battlefield against the Philistines. He asked about their shalom. How is your wellness? The shalom of God's kingdom is about the whole community or a person's wholeness, the restoration of something that is broken or in ruins brought back to wellness. Exodus 22 describes the return of stolen payment, or if your livestock actually happened to trample and eat someone else's vineyard or crops, you were to restore and pay back and make amends to the field owner. At the core, it is the healing of a relationship that is broken or not in alignment with God's love and peace. Dean did a wonderful job last week unpacking this and how he talked about the importance of mercy and forgiveness. And it not only heals the individual, but the core of the relationship and the core of a community. Tim Keller, in his book, Generous Justice, describes this as the complete reconciliation, a state of the fullest flourishing in every dimension, physical, emotional, social, and spiritual, meaning all relationships are right, perfect, and filled with joy. So when there's anything out of alignment, there's breakdown in the shalom, in the restoration, in the peace. Think of the wall, a wall that is crumbling. It's in ruins. It's not complete. It's not whole. Or a person's body, like the woman Brandon shared with us in the scripture today. This woman was healed, and Jesus brought her to a wholeness, not just physically, but restoring her to the community. She had been considered unclean because of her bleeding, but with Jesus, her well-being, not only her physical healing was restored, but her wholeness, coming back into God's community. So in our scripture reading today, Isaiah proclaims the good that God will restore and bring full restoration and wholeness because God is going to be present in this. It says the right arm of God. Whenever we see the right arm or the right hand of God in Scripture, that means God's moving and acting and restoring. God's feet, his presence, will heal the brokenness and through his mercy bring salvation. It is a wonderful message that Isaiah brings to us. Burst into songs of joy, you ruins of Jerusalem. The Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Israel. So, we can imagine not just the ruined walls of Jerusalem being restored, but God will bring shalom to all of Israel. The desire of God is that his people will live in peace, and God's people will continue to bring about this completeness, this wholeness. The people of God back in the day of the prophet Isaiah, and even us today in 2020, are not only to proclaim the good news, but we are to live and to be active agents in the lives and bringing about wholeness or well-being to others. Now, my grandmother used to crochet. I don't know if anyone crochets here, but I used to love watching her because, you know, she would take a stitch and a stitch and a stitch, and if she was making a blanket, it was like a knit, a knit, a knit, and they're all interwoven, stitched together. And when God's restoration is in order, when his shalom is in order, this is how community is. We live in this knitted relationship. When one stitch is weak or broken, others come around it to support it and to make it strong. Now, sometimes getting into shalom or bringing peace isn't always as comfortable as we might think it is. I think of the Ten Boom family in The Hiding Place, hiding Jewish people in their neighborhoods away from the Nazis. I mean, just the risk of their own lives to save the other is really a powerful image and act of God's shalom and holy restoration. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be that big, right? I mean, sometimes it's just reaching out to a neighbor next door or someone in our own community that might need assistance. Now, when I was 12 years old, I was stretched a little bit. My mom and dad, who are here today, glad you're here. Thanks, Mom, Dad. Our home was open a lot. My parents had Bible studies, invited a lot of people over to have meals, and it was just very impactful to my sisters and I. And so one time, my mom and dad came to us and said, hey, we're going to be having some visitors come stay with us for a short time. And we're like, visitors? Who is it? Like relatives? Is it like friends of ours from out of town? They're like, no, we don't know them. They're from Egypt. Actually, two of them are from Egypt and one's from Sweden. And we just got a call from a mission, local mission group, and these people are stranded in the United States. They had come to the U.S. expecting a job with a local mission agency, and it wasn't available. So now they're stuck here in the U.S. with no money, no place to live. And so my parents said, we're going to open our home to them. And for me, as a 12-year-old, and I don't know exactly what my mom and dad had told us, but I had a tough time with this. Like, this is like a stranger. Well, this is stranger danger. Remember, that was a big thing back in the 80s. Like, you didn't talk to strangers. And now you're inviting not only a stranger, but a foreigner. Two different types of foreigners, Egyptian and Swedish. But I have to tell you, that was one of the most awesome points in my life, where it just planted so many seeds in me about the way we can bring shalom to people. So I got to know Jacob and Anna and Kamel, and we became a family for that month. And it wasn't just us supporting them, right? We became this knitted, restored, working together community that just loved on one another and supported one another. And I thank you, Mom and Dad, for that. I thank you for stretching us as young people and opening your home. And I know that might not have been easy for you, but it was powerful. I still think of it quite often. But as children of God, you know, and followers of Christ, we follow the Prince of Peace, right? And that's what calls us to things like that, to bringing shalom to others and accepting the shalom from others. That's the most important part. We must live out that restoring mercy in our lives, to care for the neighbor, to care for the refugee, to care for the outcast. And I know this isn't easy. And many times when we see the brokenness and pain, I mean, I know when we come into this campus each week, each time you're here, you see more and more people living on the streets around our campus. And it's heartbreaking. And what do we as a community, how do we reach out and bring some of God's shalom to the neighborhood? And sometimes it seems impossible and uncomfortable, but our call is to be a servant and to serve others and to share God's restoring mercy. So as we prepare to move into Christmas this week, to celebrate the coming of the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Restoring Mercy, this is Jesus. God saves. This is Emmanuel, God with us. May we be a people and a community that not only celebrate and proclaim the good news of God's mercy, which restores, but may we live the beautiful message as individuals and as a community of God's peace, good news, and salvation. Amen.